4 through 10 of the second chapter of 1 Peter. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, the stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." If anybody asks you what Brother Thompson preached on this morning, it was on the royal priesthood. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever gone through an identity crisis, but I did. I was in education for a quarter of a century, and I identified myself and other people identified me as an educator. Well, there came a day when God said, "Leave it all. I'm going to pick up my option on you." When I was in Japan during World War II, the Lord called me to preach. And Audrey and I were waiting for that call until I was 50 years of age. So during that time, I had advanced to a doctorate in education, had been a principal, college teacher, elementary teacher, you name it. But my identity, if anybody's, you know, in America, we say, when we want to meet somebody, we say, "What do you do?" That isn't true in all cultures. But to us, it's very important what you do. And I would say, "Well, I'm a teacher, I'm a principal, I'm a professor," or whatever. And then the Lord said, "Leave it all." Now, I was not a pastor. I had no papers with any organization. I was zero. That's called an identity crisis. I had a real, genuine identity crisis. And it lasted, I guess, until I had pastored for a couple of years, and I began to think of myself as a pastor. But that took some doing. It's been now about 34 years, Bob can correct me on this, since I've been pastoring. So I think of myself as a pastor. But that is not my identity. And you may be a teacher or a seamstress or a fireman or a salesman or whatever you may be, but that's not your identity. What your identity is a priest of God. Now, I probably will not in this hour be able to convey to you all that is implied in there, but I'll do my best and just pray. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name, help me to convey somewhat what you have burdened me about this business of the royal priesthood. Help me, Lord, and give us perception. Let it sink down into some or all. And just help us this morning and those that are on the grounds in Jesus' name. Now, what you are is a priest. The word royal means a governing priest, a priest of a kingly order, or appointed by a king, so that you represent the king. That's the term royal. Well, there's nothing we can do about that. But there is something we can do about the priest, being the priest. I don't know as I've ever heard anybody preach on it, but God really laid it on my heart this last week. And so I want to give you an identity crisis. I want you to start thinking of yourself as a priest. Now, you can reject it. So you can say, God, that is not what I want. But I would advise against that. It's not wise to go to your Creator and say, I don't agree with you. Because, you see, when He brought you into the world, He brought you in at a specific time, at a specific place. And if you're a member of the priesthood, He knew your name. From the foundation of the world, God is really greater than we understand. And that is your destiny. You may be a plumber, but you see, you're a plumber by vocation. But what you are, what you've been called to, is to be a priest. And God will shape your life so that when the time comes for you to serve as a priest, you'll be prepared. The things that happen to us are not random. They are not because God has forgotten who we are, where we are, and doesn't care. And that the devil has been getting after us. Well, you having received Christ and I having received Christ, we become part of Israel. We are genuinely a part of Israel just as much as Belinda, because the callings of God are prophetic. They're not by blood birth. If you're born a Jew, then you have to be a Jew by calling. See, I call them my people. And so you have Jacob and Esau, and you have Isaac and Ishmael, both of them born to the same parents, but one was called, and the prophecy was on them. The prophecy was on Jacob. The prophecy was not on Esau. And so they both were Jews, you might say, in that sense, but only one was Israel. Do you know what the word Israel means? It means, the word Israel means he struggles with God. Now, the reason I'm emphasizing that is because a lot of times things happen to us and we think it's the devil. Oh, the devil made me sick, or the devil took away my job, or the devil did this and the devil did that. But your struggle is not with the devil. Your struggle is with God. Because God has chosen you. Now, I can't overemphasize that fact. Not everyone is chosen to be a royal priest. In fact, those who are chosen to be a royal priest are a small minority of the earth's population. Because we have confused Christianity with religion, and when we think of Christianity, we think of churches as we know them in America, and hymns and liturgies and all church actions, we do not understand what a Christian is. We think he's a church member. A Christian is not a church member. They're calling President Obama a Christian. They call Mr. Clinton a Christian. Well, they're Christians in the sense of attending a Christian church or declaring that they're Christians. But that is not what a Christian is. A Christian is chosen to be a priest of God. And as such, during this life, he is a disciple. That is, we don't even understand disciple, because discipleship passed away when the great universities came into being. But prior to Oxford and Cambridge and the other universities in the Arab countries and so on, there were disciples. There were teachers would come to a village, and they would find a spot, and they would sit on a chair, and those who wanted would group themselves around the teacher. And he would teach them whatever it was he had to teach. And that's the way teaching went on for hundreds of years. There was a master and a disciple. Now, it's carried over today in the trades. You'll have an apprentice carpenter, then you'll have a journeyman carpenter, and then you'll have a master carpenter. That's a carryover from the old days of the instruction by a master. And the people who follow him are disciples, the idea being that they eventually become a master. So we don't understand that. We are all confused with religion. See, we say, we don't even use the term disciple. Usually it's a Christian. And we don't know what that is, really. A Christian is a disciple. A disciple is someone who is learning from a master. And we are learning from the master, Jesus. He is the high priest. And we are learning from him how we are going to serve as priests. And the only thing that churches do is confuse the issue. Because I don't think most of us would believe, and I don't think Mr. President Obama himself would say, that he was denying himself, taking up his cross, and following Jesus. So, he's not a Christian, but he can be a Christian by church membership. You see the difference? He's a Christian in modern American terms, but he's not a Christian in Bible terms, nor either is Mr. Clinton. If you ask him, have you denied yourself? Have you taken up your cross? Are you giving all your decisions to Jesus? Well, what planet did you come from? See, the churches do not understand what it means to be a Christian. Now, being a Christian is the same as a disciple, as I pointed out in the book of Acts, and we're discipling ourselves to the Master, Jesus. And when we pass from the apprentice stage to the journeyman stage and then to the Master, which we can because Jesus himself said, everyone that is perfect should be as his master. So that was the idea of the apprenticeship. You apprentice yourself to a master plumber, a master printer, or a master whatever, the idea being someday you'd be a master and you would have disciples. Now that's the way, that's the true way that the royal priesthood advances. Now, if we're going to be a royal priest, we have a lot to learn because a priest represents people to God and represents God to people. So we have to become versed in God so that we can tell people what God is like, and we have to be versed in people so we can tell God about their needs. You see that? So your whole life, now as I say, if you are a genuine person, and I cannot say in here you're all genuine, I don't know. What do I know? You know, you might be saying right now, what foolishness is he talking about? But if you are genuinely chosen, you will understand, and your heart will say, yes, that's what I want. If you're not, you'll say, that's confusing to me. I've got my, there's things I want to accomplish, blah, 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 and I don't care about this, and all this is doing is interfering with my life. If that's the case, there's a good chance you're not chosen. So if I were in your case, and I am, I would be before God all the time to make my calling and election certain. And I wouldn't let anything hinder it. Sometimes, Russell, enjoy this. I read about the amazingly ignorant, stupid things that are going on in our country. Would you agree, Russ? Yes, I know he agrees. And every time my mind starts tracking on that, guess what the Lord says? Oh, you're not going to like this. He says, let them duke it out. In other words, I don't want you concerned. That's not your concern. Your concern is the priesthood, not what unsaved people are doing because they're not serving God. If they were serving God, they'd have love, joy, and peace, and righteousness, but they're not. How many remember Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead? You know, that's an unkind thing. I mean, here was a guy who felt responsible for the death in his family, and he wanted to go back and help with the will or the burial or whatever. And Jesus, who is our master, said, let the dead bury their dead. Jesus is interested in one thing, and that's the kingdom of God and obeying God. And what unsaved people do as they go back and forth spinning out their own confusion, God says, let them duke it out. Don't get involved in it. Now, he may not say that to you. I'm only saying what he says it to me, and I think it's uproarious. Because I do, you know, I read that they're going to fine Arizona for a college because they're requiring a green slip before they hire an immigrant, and they're going to fine them for that. And then on the other hand, if they do hire an illegal immigrant, they're going to fine them for that. Now, if that isn't amazingly bright, I don't know what is, you know? And I look at that and I say, what is wrong with those people? Don't they have any brains at all? And God says, let them duke it out. Don't you get involved in that. You pay attention. I'm talking to you about the priesthood, and you've got to feed the people. If you love me, you've got to feed my sheep. Don't get involved because they do what they're doing because they're not serving God. I thought you'd like that. No. All right, now, going back to where Lloyd so kindly showed us on the board, as you come, now this is in 1 Peter, the second chapter, beginning with verse 4, as you come to him, the living stone. Now, isn't that an unusual expression? A living stone. Most stones are not alive. In fact, I'm safe in saying no stone is alive, except one. So see, Carol, in a box of rocks, there may be one that's alive. All right. As you come to him, he's a stone. What a thing to call Christ. What does that tell us? Anything? Rush, you ought to know. You're in the trades. It tells us that he's part of a building. That's what you do with stones, particularly in countries where trees are scarce. You build with stone. You see this, a lot of it in Israel. You see these giant high-rises. My goodness. But they're all stone. Great granite blocks. But this is a living stone, rejected by men, and he is to this day. They could talk about America being a Christian country. If there's 10,000 genuine Christians in America, it would be a miracle. Because we're not a religious nation. We're a Christian religious nation. And we'll fight other religions to keep our religion. But it has nothing to do with being a disciple of Jesus. Now notice this. Chosen. I want you to look at that word. Rejected by men, but chosen by God. Now why does God have the authority to choose one person for one thing and another person for something else? Why does he have that authority? I mean, judge will know you. You do a thing, you have to know where the authority is. Because he created us all. And you don't say to a potter, you know, well, you can't make a vessel like that. You've got to make them all the same. And the potter says, get out of here, you know. I'm the potter. I do what I want to do. That's in a democratic society, especially because we don't have a king and are not used to a monarchy. We find it almost impossible to believe that God would make one person unto destruction and another to eternal blessing. Ain't fair. But it's what the Bible says. It's what the Bible says. You want to argue with God? Go ahead. He doesn't lose many arguments. He can do as he will. And there's no one who can stop him. In a country where we appeal to lawsuits and things like that, I've got my rights, I'm going to bring you to court. It doesn't work with God. It takes us a while, Belinda, before we settle in our bones that God can do what he wants. And he doesn't have to answer to anybody. Now, what does that mean to us? It means a great deal to us. Because if God has chosen you to be a member of the royal priesthood, and this is not true of the great majority of Earth's population, then you have a very special responsibility as to how you live. You have to change your identity from being a teenager or an old fogey or a fireman or an electronic expert or whatever to becoming a priest, because God is going to deal with you as a priest. And you're going to go through long periods of boredom because God does some work and then he sets you aside like a carpenter will set aside wood to season. I had a lady call me the other day. I don't know what to do. Nothing's happening. Join the group. You go for long periods of time with nothing happening. Well, what do? Every morning you get up and say, I'm a priest of God. I don't care if anything happens. This is who and what I am. That's why it's practical to understand that if you are called to be a priest, that's very, very, very special. It's not something you take for granted. 2 Peter says, make your calling and election certain. Well, God looks down on this earth, and it's a marvel to me with the things that are going on, that he doesn't blow up the whole thing. I mean, you can't believe what people do to each other. Some lady threw her cat in the garbage can, and it got in the news somehow. And people are outraged. You know, there's a lot of people who love animals, and I'm one of them. Well, she threw her cat in the garbage. And she's saying, she's responding to all this press attention she's getting. She says, what's so important about a cat? What's so important about a cat? Somebody sent me a very good link, and if you ask me for it, I'll send it to you. But it's about a kitty and a parakeet playing together. It's a marvelous thing. And the title of it is, I Love You Because You're You. And it shows these frames of the little kitty and the parakeet playing together and ends up with the parakeet asleep on the kitty's back. I dig that stuff. Oh, I dig that stuff. Big time. I'm a great lover of animals. And I'm sorry to say this, but if I have any power in the world to come, there'll be no shooting animals for sport. I'm a great lover of animals, and I'll take their side. Did you notice the expression on the bear? You probably didn't. It went by so fast. You notice that? I see the face of God in those things. I saw the face of God in a little tiny dog was under a big dog, like they do sometimes. I saw the face of God. Do you know that God created animals? And if we knew how to use them, they could do most everything that we do. But we don't, because we don't know God and we don't know what the world is about. And we pick up gravel and eat it, as one of the poets said, because we don't know what the creation is about. Well, there's a new world of righteousness coming, and I'm waiting for it. And every animal is going to be treated right, or I'm going to do something about it if I can. All right. As you come to him, a living stone. See, that sets it up. This is going to be a building. rejected by men, but chosen. You are chosen of God, or you wouldn't be here. But I'm telling you, make your calling and election sure. Don't go around with your mind on 8 million things. Go around with your mind on one thing. I'm a priest of God, and everything that's going to happen to me today is to prepare me for my role. Because you're going to have to suffer. You're going to have to learn that God is kind. You're going to have to be patient with people. The kingdom and patience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Guard the word of my patience. That's one of the big lessons that we learn. We can't be in America. Do it now. Do it now. You already got to, well, what's next? Let's go. Let's go. It's on television now. You know what they got now? They've got a way of defying gravity. And this is going to go on and on throughout your lifetime to get you off of what God has for you. And you have to stop every day and say, my calling, my identity is as a priest, and the things that happen to me today are to help me, because in the future I'm going to be serving God as a priest. A priest. So it's a real identity change. What I'm saying is, if I could unscrew my head and put it on your neck, I would, because I want you to get everything God has for you and not miss it with our vital culture, because it's a distraction and it's going nowhere. It means nothing. It's much ado about nothing. Our whole culture is a tempest in a teapot. And it wasn't so tragic, it would be funny. Men spend their whole lives trying to find out how to kill other people. But that is not ridiculous. And that's the history. I've been studying castles, and the money that's been spent on castles so they can kill other people is a marvel. You stop to think, here's the world, and here's all these beauties that we saw in the offertory and everything, and men are spending their time killing each other, or robbing each other, or seeking money or power. I'm going to tell you something. You know why people amass more money than they need? Then they need to pay the rent and eat and wear clothes. Do you know why they are constantly trying to amass more money than they need? You'll be amazed at the answer. Because they're trying to make themselves independent of God. And that's the only reason. They want something that will take care of them in case God fails them. And that's why people amass more money than they need. And here's a shocker. In the new world of righteousness that's coming, money will not be used as a medium of exchange. Yeah, it's wonderful when you think of it. But it's a radical change in the way we approach life. Because much of life is trying to get somebody else's money from them. Much of life is lost. All of merchandising is like that. They put on a good face. We're out here to help you. They're not out there to help you. They're out there to get your money. It's a rotten way to live. And that's why Paul said the love of money is the root of all evil. All right. Chosen by God and precious to Him. And God expects something of you. He expects worship. He expects attention. He does not like to be ignored. He expects you to act in such a way that when He looks down on this rotten thing that we call the world, there's some place where somebody is saying, thank you, God. I love you. You're good. You're right. And that makes the whole... See, He buys that to get the whole field. He finds a treasure in the field, and he buys the whole field to get that treasure. And see, that's your job and my job, is to make God happy that He is working with mankind, that He loves the world. That's your job and my job, is to make God happy. And you could do it too. Obey Him, worship Him, love Him, especially when you don't understand what He's doing. That's hard for people. They don't understand what God is doing. You just stay there, stay with it, praise God, pray every day for what you want. You'll have peace. But you also, like living stones. So what does that tell us? We're going to be part of the building. One building. And that building is the temple of God. That purpose of that building is to worship God and to make him pleased with the creation. You are being built into a spiritual house. Now, you can ask Russ or anybody in construction, when you're building something, you're not, I mean, you can hammer stuff around and saw on it and file it and everything you can think of. And that's what happens to us. We get filed. We get sawn. We get hammered. And you see, if you don't realize that the purpose of all this pain and frustration and irritation is to prepare you to serve as a priest. It's nothing to do with Satan, whatever. God may use Satan to do it. But when Paul had his problem, he didn't go to Satan. He went to God. I besought the Lord. You are struggling with God. Our problem is Christ. Not Satan. Christ. Christ is in control of Satan. You may not believe that, but he is. Satan cannot do anything without Christ's permission. Remember in the book of Job? He really wanted to slaughter Job. And the Lord said, spare his life. You know? Satan could not go past that. He can't do anything except God gives him permission. And now God has transferred all that over to Jesus. So Satan can only do what Jesus lets him do. And Jesus lets him do whatever will accomplish Jesus' end. So you're not struggling against Satan. If you do, he loves that. He loves the attention, and it makes him feel important. You are built up into a spiritual house. You're being built. Your life is not random. It is not aimless. There's not things happening to you that got by Christ's attention. You are precious to him. You are one that he's chosen. You know, some of you work on a job, there may be 100 people there, and you may be the only one that God has chosen. There may be other church people there, but you talk to them about an identity crisis and becoming a priest, they won't know what you're talking about. Because they're religious people, probably very fine people, and they're good church members, but they don't have a clue as to God's choosing a priest. Well, think about it. To be a holy priesthood. Now, the word holy there means that it's holy to God. That is W-H-O-L-L-Y. It's holy gods. It's not anything else. God is, part of his nature is jealous. God is jealous. He gets jealous. If he has chosen you and you got your eyes on somebody or something else, God will act on it. And if you keep insisting, he'll let you go. So that's what you want, take it. If you want Satan, have him. Kiss him on the mouth and do what he says. That's, you say, God shouldn't be like that. Well, I'm tired to tell you, God is not nice. He's not nice, sir. You know, he does the things that he does. Like Rum Tum Tugger, he do what he do. A holy priesthood. You're not. Your attention is not split in many directions. It's on one thing, and that's worshiping God and obeying him. That's what a priest does. See, he represents man to God and represents God to man. So you have to be versed in God and in people. Offering spiritual sacrifices. Now, those are thanksgiving, praise, look at honoring God when the things in your life are such that you have to look up to see the bottom. When you're lower than a snake's belly and you look up and say, I praise you, Lord, I don't understand this, whatever, but I trust you. That's a spiritual sacrifice. Thanksgiving. Anybody can praise the Lord when everything's going right. But when you've got a cross you're carrying and it gets kind of heavy, You have to praise God. I thank you, Lord, for the calling, and I know this is necessary for my character formation. I know that. Because every day you're being shaped. You're being hammered on. Through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion. Now, all of this is in Zion, and you can read about Zion in chapter 12 of Hebrews. We've come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God and to innumerable company of angels and to the church of the firstborn and to those spirits perfected in Zion. A chosen Jesus is chosen just as you are. God chose Jesus. And so Jesus' whole life was spent serving God. He was not involved with the Roman Empire. And God knows there were Jews who were. They were very active and rebellious. But Jesus didn't teach that. He taught the kingdom. He taught about being pure in heart. He taught about forgiving your enemies. He talked about leaping for joy when you're persecuted. He preached, all his parables were about the kingdom. He didn't touch the stuff that was going on in Rome, and it was terrible. And the Roman emperors got worse and worse until they were insane. It was just beyond belief what went on in that place. And Paul was brought before Caesar. I was thinking about yesterday what that must have been like as Paul was brought in with a guard on each side and probably chained. And here's Caesar on a great throne in this huge hall lined with Roman soldiers with their lances. Oh, boy, that must have been some spectacle. Whoa. And old Paul comes in, you know, an old man answering to Caesar. Paul said he had to be brought there. And the truth was, Caesar had no power at all. Paul had it all. That's the irony of it, just like Jesus before Pilate. Well, someday you may be brought there. And Jesus said, don't plan what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit will speak for you. Yeah. We haven't been there yet, but we're rapidly getting there. If you get into the right-wing newspapers and see what's going on, whoa, pretty bad. A chosen and precious cornerstone. Now, I've talked to you before, and Russ can explain to you and others in construction that when you're going to be a big building like a post office or something, you have to start with a cornerstone so that all the building can be oriented from that point so that geographically it's perfect. So Christ is the perfect cornerstone, and the house is being built on him. This is a house you're being made. So don't think of yourself as something other than a part of a great house that worships God. And let your daily burdens and responsibilities be just that. Because you're being prepared for eternity. Your job won't last for eternity. But this will last for eternity. And eternity's a long time. Enoch lived 300 years. That's a long time. Nobody in here is going to live 300 years, most likely. But we're not talking about 300 years. We're talking about forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. That's what you're being prepared for. Life without end, like Melchizedek. You're being prepared to live forever. Not just live. You will always be a priest. You have been chosen to be a priest. The whole New Jerusalem is one great priest. The house of God and the throne of God is in it. And it will govern the world. Forever. Forever. Of the increase of his kingdom and of peace, there shall be no end. Get prepared for eternity. Not eternity as someone that God saves so you can do your own thing. You're not a member of the nations. The nations get saved. All they have to do is be baptized and believe in the name of Jesus, and they'll be saved. The members of the nations. You're not a member of the nation. You're chosen. There's a big difference between the saved people of the nations and the royal priesthood. My gracious. All right, let me show you that. Feel the identity I'm trying to give to you to make you understand. You're not just some dude. Now, in Mark 16:16, listen to this. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. That's it. That's the members of the nations. It's not the royal priesthood. God isn't dealing with you to be saved. Now, let's say. Now, here's what Paul said. Paul was a member of the royal priesthood. And listen to the difference. Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Does that sound like believe and be baptized? Now listen to this. Not that I have already obtained all this, and this is an old man, you know, this is just before he's brought to Caesar, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Christ has taken hold of you for something. See, or you can wipe yourself out of the program. And Paul says that I may take hold on that for which Christ has taken hold of me. Both ends have to work. See, Christ already has destined you for something, but you have to take hold of it. It won't just work. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Can you see the difference? Is he trying to get to heaven? Do you think he's striving to get to heaven? Do you think he's striving to be saved? Well, what is he striving for? He says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal. To win the prize. Is that prize the rapture? Is it heaven? What is it? We don't know because we haven't been taught, because churchianity has gone on and on and on and on and on about things that are important to the church but not important to the kingdom. Ooh, what a mouthful that was. All right. Now we'll go ahead. Now we're in 1 Peter 2. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because... Now listen. You ready? Are you asleep? That's fine, but don't snore, all right, because it bothers people. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also... what they were destined for. Now, how's that for fairness? How's that for we're all equal? And have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Boy, we've been so far down the scale. It's pitiful. Are some people destined to be disobedient or not? We don't like it. It ain't fair. What if it was you or me? That's why it says, labor to make your calling and election certain. Why does it say that? It really wasn't necessary. He was getting a nickel a word, so he put those in there. The whole thing is either the word of God or it isn't. That's my stance. Every word of the received manuscripts is, as far as I'm concerned, God. And when it says they were destined to be disobedient to the gospel, that's what it means. I'll tell you something that has really bothered me. When Jesus explained the wheat and the tares, I have never really oriented myself to that properly. Because he says, the wheat of the children of God, the children of the kingdom, and the tares of the children of Satan. Well, I know Satan can't create people. So I've never really come to terms with that. But I have seen it. I have seen it in people. I sure have seen it in people. That some of them are sure not of God. They're not even decent. You know, the things that people do. They're not even decent. Like the family that were inside a chain link fence, and on the outside was their daughter and guards. And in view of the family, they were taking turns raping her. And there's worse things than that I could tell you about. And Jesus said, there's the wheat and the tares. And again in 2 Peter, it talks about brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. Now, why am I saying this? So that you will appreciate and evaluate properly your calling. And don't let anything get in the way. If God has chosen you to be a member of the priesthood, just remember, that's not true of most people. And it requires of you to offer up praises to God. That's your, you know, someone asks you, what do you do for a living? You would be perfectly accurate in saying, I offer up praises to God. That's your identity. They said, well, what kind of work do you do? Well, that's different. What I do is I'm an electrician. Well, what are you? I'm a priest of God. Do you understand? Well, where's your collar? And you don't have your stuff on backward. You're not wearing a black suit. I didn't say I was a priest of a religion. I said I'm a priest of God. Amen. And my job, my first job, is to be glorifying God in all I do. You're getting it, aren't you? I can feel it resonating. All right. Now notice the in opposition to the word destined. See what they were destined for. And notice, but you are a chosen people. See the play between the two words there, destined and then chosen. See that? This message that I'm preaching to you has been lost because it was overdone by those that taught Calvinism, and they overdid it. It became impractical. They were saying that people were either destined to be saved or to be lost. That's not the issue. You're destined to be a member of the priesthood. And as for the rest, it's in God's hands. But it's not good because people feel, well, I guess I'm lost and there's nothing I can do about it. But you see, Jesus said, he that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. So you have to balance it. Someone says, well, maybe I'm one of those that's destined to be disobedient. Well, quit feeling sorry for yourself and just read the verse in John 6. He that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out, and get up on your hind legs and go for it. Don't lay there like a sick fish moaning about how you're destined to be disobedient. There's no telling what God will do for someone who goes after him. There's no telling what he'll do. He's not going to say, oh, get away from here, you're destined to be disobedient. He's not going to do that. You want God? If you want God, that's a gift. Most people in the world don't. They don't want to go to hell. They want to go to heaven, not because they want to see God, but because they want to be in Disneyland in the sky where everything is fun. They don't want to go to see Jesus. They don't love Jesus, they love themselves. Wow, am I on it today? But you are a chosen people. must have got up on the wrong side of the bed. A royal priesthood, a ruling priesthood, and you're going to be governing God's creation forever. And ever and ever and ever and ever. Lord, what we need now, I'm through here, but I got a second here. Isaiah 61, starting with verse 4. Oh, that's right. This morning is communion, so you're licked. You can't go anywhere. All right. Did you see it? Verse 4 is talking about you. So if you're tired, go home and sleep, because you're going to be busy. They will rebuild the ancient ruins. See that, Rush? You'll have a chance there. And restore the places long devastated. They will renew. That's you. The ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Aliens will shepherd your flock. In fact, the saved people of the nations will bring their wealth to God's priests. That's in several places. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. And you will be called the priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. That's true of every member of the royal priesthood. They're small in number. There's a lot of Christians in America. The priesthood is small in number. You can be a member, and I say that to those who hear the tape and all. You can be a member of the priesthood. Go to God, because if that desire is in your heart, it was put there by the Lord. And say, help me to make my calling and election sure. And from then on, regard yourself as a priest of God. That's your first identity. It's mine and it's yours. And whatever else you are, so be it, that's temporary. But this is forever. Okay, if you want to stretch your legs, you can, or you can just stay perched, because we're going to have communion here.